case y'all hadn't noticed, myself and Joel and Joey all got together and decided that we're going to raise the bar for future Wednesday night speakers. We're all wearing ties from now on. So, I don't know how we coordinated that, but we'll take it. For those of y'all that don't know me, my name's Ben Brockman. My wife is Allison, and we got a little 14-month-old named Ty, and growing like a weed. Happens way too fast. But I appreciate the opportunity to get up here and share some thoughts with you. And I got to admit, whenever Cleo approached me a while back, he gave me the choice of what I wanted to speak on. And obviously, we're talking on fruit of the Spirit. So he gave me a choice of what I wanted to choose. And for some reason or the other, I picked gentleness. And I got to admit that, you know, I thought to myself a day or two later, why did I choose gentleness? I thought, can I take a mulligan? Because personally, I never had done a study on the topic of specifically of gentleness. I don't know how many of us have. But once I started cracking the books this afternoon to start studying, joke. Once I started studying this, you know, I did realize that there's a lot of good that we can get from just studying, you know, of course, all the fruit of the Spirit, but specifically gentleness, which is what I'm speaking on tonight. So, the fruit of the Spirit is the result of the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives. So tonight, specifically, we're talking about the topic of gentleness. So I guess what I'd like to ask you is, what comes to your mind when you think of the word gentleness? Not a rhetorical question. Anybody got anything? Not rough? Okay. Gentle Ben? Okay. Not me. Okay. Jesus and the children? Okay. That was actually the first thing that came to my mind. You know, being a new parent, the first thing that I thought of when look at gentleness is, you know, the way that a new mother treats her child, very gently. What about a gentle breeze? You know, think of a breeze being gentle, or a gentle, soft rain, not a torrential downpour or a pounding rain, but a gentle, soft rain or a gentle snowfall. We don't really have too much of that down here, but it feels like it today. Anybody ready for spring? How about the word gentleman? I think of that. Is that something that, is being a gentleman something that's valued in our culture today? Maybe among us, but I don't know about the world. Chris said it, Gentle Ben. For those of y'all never heard of that, it's actually a children's novel about a friendship between an enormous-sized Alaskan brown bear known as Gentle Ben and a young boy. It was made into a film and then a TV series. Obviously, you would expect a big brown Alaskan bear to be fierce and ferocious. But in this case, he was a gentle friend to a boy named Mark. Now, I don't know too many gentle bears, so don't have your kids go out and follow this story. There may be people that you know of who you would consider to be gentle. Anybody come to mind? Perhaps a grandparent? Now that's one thing I think of when I hear the term gentle. My grandmother is a 92-year-old lady and very sweet, very gentle, very soft-spoken, one of the kindest people that I know. Each of us might ask ourselves, am I known for gentleness? Not just among, I guess, our friends and coworkers and people that we come in contact with, but what about our spouses? Are we known for gentleness with our spouses? Are we known for gentleness among our kids? What if we think of TV personality? Anybody come to mind when you think of a gentle TV personality? Fred Rogers? Okay. Is that Mr. Rogers? Okay. All right. remember watching that as a little child. I just always knew him as Mr. But that's actually the first one that came to my mind. He's always a soft-spoken, kind, caring person, always inviting us into his neighborhood. You know, he wants us to be his neighbor, putting on those sweaters that, you know, looked like they were washed in the same washing machine with the Snuggle Bear, you know. In contrast to that, this isn't necessarily a TV personality, but in contrast to a gentle person, you might think of the opposite of that. And the one that comes to mind, what's that? There you go. I agree. The one that I thought of was the old Major League Baseball coach, Lou Piniella. If you don't know who Lou Piniella is, go home and YouTube him tonight and watch some of his outtakes. He has some of the most amazing, hilarious tantrums. Anyway, just wanted to kind of get us in the mode of thinking about that topic. The Bible actually has plenty to say about the topic of gentleness, and that's where our focus is going to be tonight. So, gentleness, what does that mean? Anybody got a definition? Okay. Well, if you look in a Bible dictionary, we find that gentleness is defined as a sensitivity of disposition and kindness of behavior, founded on strength and prompted by love. So its quality of strength comes from love and is shown by a sensitive disposition and kindness. Founded on strength. Is that what the world would see when they think of gentleness? Strength? Is that what people think of when they think of Mr. Rogers? Strength? I doubt it. In fact, in the world today, is gentleness considered to be a desired characteristic? Probably not. It's probably seen as more of a weakness, I think a lot of people would think. You know, in many cases, it's all about pushing and shoving and getting ahead and looking out for, you know, numero uno. When we think of leadership characteristics, do we think of gentleness as being one of those? No? Does anybody know what the true test of a leader is? Anybody read John C. Maxwell's book? The servant? Okay. So when you think of the servant, you'd think of someone who's gentle. Okay. Well, the true test of a leader, as defined by a book on leadership by John Maxwell, is anybody following me? That's the true test of a leader, is if anybody's following. Well, what's our task as disciples of Christ? Exactly, yeah. It's to attract and retain new Christians, bring them with us to heaven. I'd like to read a little short blog entry that I came across on the topic of leadership. And the title of this entry is called Spirit-Filled Leaders Are Better Leaders. Goes like this. In his popular books, Emotional Intelligence and Primal Leadership, researcher and author Daniel Goleman writes that the most effective leaders are emotionally intelligent. More than a high IQ, you might know what IQ stands for. Intelligence quotient, yeah. Great leaders have a high EQ, emotional quotient. Because these leaders are emotionally intelligent, they are able to create environments and cultures that are highly effective. What does it mean to be emotionally bright? As an example, the effective leaders, Goleman contends, have the ability to manage their emotions and genuinely connect with people to offer kindness and empathy, to lead with joy and inspiration, and to display the master skill of patience. Sounds a lot like the fruit of the Spirit in the life of a believer. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Galatians 5, 22 and 23. This means that as Christ followers, perhaps the greatest gift we can give the people we lead is to show up in full submission to the Spirit within us. He enables us to love people and to lead with joy, to bring peace to conflict, to display patience, to offer kindness and gentleness, and to control our emotions. We lead better when we follow Him fully. We are at our best as leaders when we keep in step with His Spirit. Anybody agree with that? Even the great Vince Lombardi is quoted to have, for having defined a leader as one who displays respect and compassion for others. And, to me, those are characteristics of gentleness. It's interesting, though, because in today's society, often gentleness is considered weak. So what are some synonyms? Compassion, fairness, graciousness, justness, kindness, mercy, mildness, soft-heartedness, tenderness. And then the opposite, sternness, harshness, abruptness, vengeance, severity, cruelty. So what I have for us tonight is six things that I found that, and there's more, but I just want to go over six that the Bible says about gentleness. First of all, it tells us that Jesus is an example of gentleness. I mean, that should really be the end of our lesson, right? He's our ultimate example, and if he's gentle, then that's how we should be as well. First thing that I think of when I think of Jesus being gentle is a song that we sing called Jesus Meek and Gentle. It goes like this. Jesus Meek and Gentle, Son of God Most High, pitying, loving Savior, hear thy children's cry. Pardon our offenses, loose our captive chains, break down every idol which our soul detains. Give us holy freedom, fill our heart with grace, lead us on our journey till we win the race. Jesus, meek and gentle, Son of God Most High, pitying, loving Savior, hear thy children's cry. So a gentle person hears the cries of another person. They pity them. He pities them, pardons their offenses, and shows compassion. You know, when you become a parent, there's things that you understand a little bit better in your Christian walk. With the experience of parenthood as it relates to this lesson, I think of the cries of our son, Ty. You know, would Allison and I ever turn our backs on his cries with a hard and uncaring heart? Probably not, unless we're trying to teach him how to cry out and sleep on his own, right? But other than that, no way. When he cries, we reach out in gentleness to soothe him, to comfort him, to care for him. Unfortunately, there are children in this world who do not get a gentle response to their cries. Sadly, their cries are met with physical abuse, yelling, anger. But thankfully, in your home and in mine, we do not respond that way. Hopefully, we respond with gentleness. Same is true of Jesus, meek and gentle. He hears his children's cries, as the song says. Those who are hurting, those who are in distress, those who cry out to him for whatever reason, he listens. He cares. 2 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 1 reads, "Now I, Paul, myself, urge you by the meekness and gentleness of Christ, I who am meek when face to face with you, but bold towards you when absent." The meekness here, I'm sorry, this actually refers to Christ's meekness. And meekness in this verse comes from the Greek praotis. Am I saying that right? Anybody know? Look at Ken. I think that's right. But that basically means to submit one's strength, to submit one's strength in a posture of meekness. And gentleness in this verse is from the Greek epiekeia, which refers to the kindly grace that God exhibits when he helps those who don't deserve it at all. And that's all of us. They're separate virtues that Christ has and that we should desire. So meekness and gentleness go hand in hand. Meekness describes a condition of the mind and of the heart, more of an internal attitude. And gentleness refers to actions or external behavior. Jesus said of himself in Matthew 11:9, "I am gentle and humble in heart." Of all people on earth who could have demanded superiority, who could have pushed his weight around, Jesus could have used his status and his position as the Son of God, but instead, he let go of his rights of superiority as the Son of God and humbled himself to serve in gentleness. The Bible tells us of another man who is known for being gentle. Anybody know who that is? Moses. Moses is actually called the gentlest or meekest of all men in Numbers 12, verse 3. That reads, "Now the man Moses was very meek above all the men which were upon the face of the earth." So Moses was gentle when he needed to be, as he was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt. But, he wasn't perfect, and at times he lost his patience, and his anger showed. When he struck the rock, instead of speaking to it, as God told him to, I wouldn't necessarily say he was in gentle mode. So that lack of gentleness or disobedience as a leader of God's people cost him getting into the promised land. The story is found in Numbers 20, 10 through 12, story of the water and the rock. And I'll go ahead and read that for you. Verse 10 of Numbers 20. "And Moses and Aaron gathered the assembly before the rock, and he said to them, 'Listen now, you rebels, shall we bring forth water for you out of this rock?' Then Moses lifted up his hand and struck the rock twice with his rod, and water came forth abundantly, and the congregation and their beasts drank. But the Lord said to Moses and Aaron, 'Because you have not believed me to treat me as holy in the sight of the sons of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this assembly into the land which I have given them.'" Certainly, this is not necessarily an example of when Moses was gentle. Third point I want to make, the Bible teaches us through Paul that Christian women who are married to unbelieving men can win them over to Jesus with a gentle spirit, which is of great worth in God's sight. And that's found in 1 Peter 3, verse 4. So arguing and nagging won't necessarily win them over. But they'll have a better chance of winning over their unbelieving spouse by showing them with a gentle spirit, courtesy, kindness, and a loving nature. The Bible teaches us that we should be gentle when we tell others what we believe. First thing I think of, any of you guys started reading Muscle and a Shovel? Probably a lot of us have. How does Randall start approaching the main character in that book? Very gently, very softly, right? So, and why do you think that God put gentleness in the fruit of the Spirit? John? So our interaction with the Lord and also our interaction with people that we come in contact with that we want to try and bring to the Lord. I think that he puts it in there because gentleness, in my opinion, is a very attractive characteristic. And if we want to attract others to Christ, then we need to approach them gently and softly and definitely not harsh and push them in the other direction. The Bible teaches us that we should be gentle when we tell others what we believe in the same way as the Christian woman who's married to an unbeliever in the previous point. 1 Peter 3, 15 and 16 says, "But in your hearts, revere Christ as Lord. Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that you have. But do this with gentleness and respect. And keep a good conscience, so that in the thing in which you are slandered, those who revel your good behavior in Christ will be put to shame." The Bible also says that gentleness will open the hearts of sinners to restore them. Galatians 6:1, "Brothers and sisters, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. But watch yourselves, or you also may be tempted." Perhaps you've experienced this. Have you ever gone to someone in gentleness and tried to help redirect their path? Most likely, if you go to them with a haughty spirit or you're pushy or dogmatically or self-righteously, they probably won't listen to you. Right? When it shows that you really care about them and you have a deep and genuine concern and it's shown in gentleness, no doubt it'll help. The Bible teaches us to love our enemies, pray for them, and to turn the other cheek. And that involves gentleness. So gentleness may demand putting up with a lot. Do y'all agree with that? Matthew 5, 38, 39, and 34. You have heard that it was said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. But I say to you, do not resist an evil person, but whoever slaps you on your right cheek, turn the other to him also. If anyone wants to sue you and take your shirt, let him have your coat also. Whoever forces you to go 1 mile, go with him too. Give to him who asks of you, and do not turn away from him who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, you shall love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I say to you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. So, he doesn't necessarily teach us to fight back, does he? Or to stand up and retaliate. He teaches us to be gentle. So is that always the easy road to take? Not at all. And I went through this a little quick. Anybody got any comments before I conclude? I've got some concluding remarks, but yeah, Kim. It's easy for us to get frustrated if someone doesn't understand what we're trying to tell them. It's easy for our pride to step in, for our ego to step in. But we need to let that go. And we need to be... Absolutely. One thing before I conclude, there's an outline that Cleo passed on. I thought this was good. True story about General Robert E. Lee helps illustrate the principle of gentleness. While Lee was a cadet at West Point, another cadet took a violent dislike to him. Over the years, he made repeated verbal attacks on Lee. One day, a friend asked Lee what he thought of the man. And Lee spoke of him in glowing terms. The man was startled and said, "You must not know what he's been saying about you for years." But Lee replied, "You didn't ask me what the man thought of me, but what was my opinion of him?" And that's gentleness. Christians need to learn how to apply this fruit of the Spirit in their lives so that they may live the pettiness which pits neighbor against neighbor, worker against worker, family member against family member, or even Christian against Christian. We must submit to the Spirit of God and allow His fruit to make us gentle people. I thought that was a good, really good thought there. So one thing I'd like to add, as we conclude, is that gentleness, it's not about a false humility. You know, it's not about pretending to have a meek and gentle spirit. You know, clearly it should be genuine and it should be heartfelt. It's not about being spineless and refusing to stand for anything. It's not about being cowardly, stepping back from what we're facing and avoiding trouble. There's a lot that we face today in our society that's very disturbing. And it's not about burying our head in the sand and avoiding everything that's clearly against what God teaches. Meekness is a virtue that Christians are commanded to put on and aim for, and we're repeatedly exhorted to be meek and gentle. Gentleness probably is not going to win us any fame, except Mr. Rogers, got him. There'll be no applause from the stands because you're gentle or meek. Gentleness or meekness most likely will be mistaken for weakness. But gentleness is a choice that we must all make. For some, it may come more naturally. For others, it will take effort. Fruit of the Spirit is gentleness. What happens when a piece of fruit is left on a tree? Rots, falls off. Kind of pointless, right? It's kind of worthless. Benefits no one and it eventually rots. It is only a benefit when it is given away, shared, and when it's made use of. Until then, it has no benefit. With the help of the Holy Spirit, we can use the fruit of gentleness to help us lead others to Christ and to bring others back to Him. Anybody got any other comments? Yeah. No doubt. Absolutely. For sure. Yeah. And Paul, of all people, had every reason not to be gentle, every reason to be proud. But he wasn't. He's extremely humble, very gentle. Yeah, and that's that emotional intelligence that we had talked about earlier, and it may appear to be weak to some, but it's definitely a characteristic of strength, because you have to be a pretty strong person to get yourself out of the way and be gentle with folks. Anthony, do you have something?
Thank you.
Good. Thank you. Sure, absolutely. That's good. I haven't heard anything from this side of the room. I'm just kidding. That's all I have. If anybody else has any other comments, if not, let's close in a prayer. Father in heaven, we thank you so much for this day and the cool weather that you've given us. We're so thankful for this time that we have to come together in the middle of the week and take our minds off of all the other distractions that are going on in our lives, and just the chance to get into your word and be around our brothers and sisters in Christ and study how we can be better in your sight, and how we can learn some characteristics to attract others to you, Father. Pray that the things that we're studying will help us to do so. Help us to have more confidence in being able to approach others. Have more confidence in being able to share the things that we know, Father. And I pray that you help help our fruit not to just remain on the tree and rot and grow stale, but help us to share the things that we know so that others can come to you, Father. We thank you so much for sending your Son Jesus, for sacrificing him, and for allowing us, people who absolutely do not deserve salvation. But we're so thankful for the hope that we have because of Christ. Father, we pray that you forgive us of all of our many sins, and just be with us throughout the rest of this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Thank you.